The following program is brought to you in living color.
Pour yourself a glass of wine. Make sure you have good lighting. Tilt the wine glass at a 45 degree angle against a white background and sight the wine. After the sight stage follows the swirl stage. Swirl the wine in your wine glass for about 3 to 5 seconds and assess the wine's viscosity.
I just don't understand what is wrong with you two. What is the joy that this stuff possibly brings you?
It's just...
it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's not fun. You two have demons you're trying to compensate for.
Well, what about you? You're having a glass of wine.
I'm not having a glass of wine. I'm having six. It's called a tasting, and it's classy.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape. Now, here's the host of The Wine Crush, the woman selected best wine show host within earshot, Laura Lawson.
You all know people like this. You may be people like this.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. All the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine and were afraid to ask. That's what we are here for. We are your media resource for everything about our happy, soon to be blossoming out on the vine grape. And I have to admit, I'm right there with that grape. I am ready for the seasons to start burgeoning, to things to start growing, for things to start blooming. I'm ready for a change, a pace.
I'm ready for fall too. Let's go.
I think maybe perhaps you're being a little more progressive than I am at
maybe
this
a little
point.
Less. Okay.
I will just settle for some, I'll settle for normalcy. I'll settle for, there's something about this time of year. I hate March. To begin with, I absolutely despise the month.
What's wrong with it?
It's my birth month, and I hate it. It probably ought to say a lot about my psyche from some of your friends. March is unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen, whether it's the weather, whether it's all the sports, whether it's people's attitudes, natures. You can't get inside. You can't get outside. You start a project. You get a little bit hopeful. You can get things done, and then you can't. March, to me, is just a tempest. And so the month keeps me on edge.
I just kind of like March myself. It's you're right. It's the turning of the corner. It's new things. It's spring beginning to show its lovely head.
I'm all about change immediately.
Oh, okay. You want it now.
I'm a rip off the Band-Aid kind of person. Okay, snap. Let's just make it normal. So I'm feeling a little angsty today. As I said to you coming in the studio today, we have met the enemy and it is ourself.
Yeah.
That is kind of where we are. And so that's always an interesting place to be with when you're talking about the fine grape. But yes, shockingly, I can tie it all in. We have a great guest today. We have Mr. Gustavo Gonzalez. He is the winemaker for Mira Winery. And he is going to talk to us about something. I have been following this a little bit, and I cannot wait to speak to the man who took Napa Valley wine and sank it in Charleston Harbor. He actually, to age it, to promote it,
oh, not, this is the guy that, yeah, in seawater.
Yes.
Why?
Well, that's what we're going to find out. Now, you can read a whole bunch of different things. I really don't think if it's promotional gimmick, it's very expensive promotional gimmick. So it will be fun to test the waters, so to speak. So we're looking forward to speaking to him. But it kind of gave me, between the fact that I'm feeling like change is inevitable and I'm ready for it, it's kind of given us the springboard for today's show. There's a lot of strange things happening in the alcohol world. And I guess this is one of those days as I read a lot of it, I don't know whether I am a progressive person or going back to that 80-year-old woman with my little blanket that's saying, when I was young, people didn't do things like this.
You shouldn't do that.
Yes, I realize that. Oh, this coming from King Arthur himself. I forget you make your living off acting like somebody else.
I command you not to do that anymore.
All right, now that we've lost half our audience because we are not on point, we might as well try and bring this horse back into the barn. And let's start with our wine recommendations. Since I am in such a strange place anyway, my white wine recommendation is going to be, actually, are you ready for this? It's French. Shocking, I know. I try and occasionally put an olive branch out there, occasionally. But bottom line is, this wine is just too good not to mention. There is a French producer, Henri Bourgeois, And they focus primarily on Sancerre and Pouilly Fumé. And these wines, now generally, I have gotten tired of Sauvignon Blanc simply because I've consumed too much New Zealand or too much Southern California, and I've had too much fruit. I've had too much pink grapefruit, or I've had too much passion fruit. I'm ready for something that's just down and dirty and bones and just really good acidity. And that's exactly what we deal with when we start looking at the Sancerres and the Pouilly Fumé, both of them, from Henri Bourgeois. So today I'm going to recommend the Sancerre. Now, Sancerre is a region in France, and it's known for its chalky cliffs. And the chalk gives the wine just this really elegant, this really reserved, this very tight, wonderful, stony mineral flavor. And it's just absolutely refreshing. We've seen so much over the top with fruit. We've seen so much over the top with citrus that this is just clean. It's a nice balance. This is the time of year where we begin to commence to think about all the different brunches coming up, whether it's an Easter brunch, whether it's Mother's Day brunch, whether it's putting everything together. But this, to me, is that perfect spring brunch wine. So your white wine recommendation today, Henri Bourgeois Sancerre. And just remember, if you buy a Sancerre, you're buying Sauvignon Blanc. But it's not what you're expecting. It's not going to be all the fruit things. It's just going to be laid back and elegant. So definitely worthwhile. Our red wine recommendation, historical family, and I always have problems with the name of this winery. And I know people are going to call in 877-4-CRUSH-1 when you want to call in. But it seems unfair to recommend a wine I like so much just because I'm not great on the name. Harzathy Family Cellars, Harzathy. Keep in mind, I am fluent in three languages, Southern, sarcasm, and profanity. Two of them I show well on the show. The third Kent won't let me show. So when I try and pronounce things, sometimes there's issues. But they do a 2009 Lodi Old Vine Zinfandel that's just absolutely outstanding. It is estate grown. It is from the Phillips Farms and the Schatz Ranch. This is absolutely, it's extracted. It has a great color. It has great fruit. And what I like about it, it has some fruit. It has black fruit. It has the raspberry. It has all the great nose on it. And even though it does have the spice that denotes a Zinfandel, you don't get left over with that hot black pepper feeling in the back of your tongue. It's really approachable. And I don't know, because I got on a big Zin kick, because I got on a beef kick, that I was just looking at these big, high, tight, high alcohol wines. But this was something that was very, very refreshing and definitely worth looking for. I also really like the label. It's got this big old grizzly bear on the label, and he's looking at you and saying, I dare you. Mm. I dare you. Come on, bring it. Bring it on. So that's Harzathy Cellars. Once again, Harzathy Family Cellars, the 2009 Lodi Old Vine Zinfandel, and I definitely think it's worth checking out. Now, this isn't a reflection on it, but it goes back to everything we're going to discuss today. It still confounds me to look at these descriptions and see Old Vine Zinfandel. What does that mean? I know we keep talking about it. Now, looking at the ranches that this Zinfandel came from, Phillips Farm and Schatz Ranch, I know that they are indeed older vine Zins. But it kind of goes in the category of, what are we doing to excite people about wine? What are we doing to promote it? And are we really adding anything to the benefit of the wine consumer? That goes in today's stories all the way around, whether it's labeling something as old vine, whether it's sinking a wine in Charleston Harbor. The progressive things that we're doing to either distinguish ourselves, to differentiate ourselves from somebody else, is it really necessary? Is it something that the wine community needs? Again, I love the idea of being progressive. I like the fact that we're very innovative. But do we ever do it to the harm of the actual beverage? That's what I'm curious about, and that's what I'd like to speak towards today. Call me, 877-4-CRUSH-1, or email me, lauralawson@winecrush.com. Here is an interesting story, speaking of promotional. This came out that Rupert Murdoch might be buying a winery. Kent,
I heard that this week. Yeah.
I feel fairly certain you probably have some commentary on that.
Except that I heard that. I have no commentary at all. I mean, what can't Rupert Murdoch buy?
I think it's outstanding. He's looking at the Moraga Vineyards. It was a 13-acre Bel Air estate, first owned in the 30s by Gone with the Wind and The Wizard of Oz director Victor Fleming.
Oh.
And it has a 7,500-square-foot home. It has beautiful vineyards. It will be fascinating to see what someone like Rupert Murdoch can do with a winery.
Yeah, I mean, is he serious about buying it as a winery and operating, or does he just like the property?
I think both. I think that he wants to actually go forward and to make wine, and I think he also likes the house. But it will be interesting to see, because you know if he steps into this industry, it will be fascinating what his intellect and his money can do automatically.
Sure.
Now, up until this point, how many people had heard of Moraga Vineyards? And if he really gets involved in this, I guarantee you 10 years from now, it's going to be on the tip of everybody's tongue. And it goes back to where we are again. We're keeping the theme today. I'm delighted about the idea of people who are investing into these historical properties. But is it the fact that Rupert Murdoch's going to own it that makes it popular? Is it because he's going to put the money in to resurrect the vineyards to make it popular? Or ultimately, will people buy it because, oh, wow, Murdoch has it and it must be great?
Well, yeah. See, what's the rate of success, too, for celebrity-owned vineyards?
Actually, not that great. It really isn't. A lot of times when you have celebrity-owned vineyards, they use it for their private-owned, you know, their private sources.
Yeah.
They're select. Obviously, if they're buying property, it's great to farm out, literally, the grapes that are being grown.
Doesn't Tommy Smothers still have, what, does he still have a...
He does.
Does it do well?
It did. And okay. All of a sudden, you have absolutely stumped me. We're going to have to come back from the break because all of a sudden, I can see the label. I can see everything else, but I have just forgotten about
it. Oh, okay.
Brooks and Dunn own one. Lady Gaga owns one. Here's my favorite, actually. John Madden.
No, I didn't know that.
Well, actually, John Madden owns a vineyard. And the people from Darcy Kent actually produce the Madden Cabernet. And the wine's outstanding. It's absolutely wonderful. So it's always fun when you look at things like that. If you actually have the land, you have the celebrity behind it, and let people who know what they're doing run with it between your name and the quality in the bottle, hey, it's great as long as you have both those things. Hey, right now we're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we're going to look at some more absurdities and take a harder look at what we're actually doing to benefit the wine when we try these different things.
For pictures, videos, show recaps, and more, become a fan of Wine Crush Radio Group on Facebook.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-281-7048. 800-281-7048. 800-281-7048. That's 800-281-7048.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-542-6751. 1-800-542-6751. 1-800-542-6751.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today,
opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right, right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
that was a joke.
Oh.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Now more of Laura Lawson and the Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Now see, it's moments like this where I get stumped before the break, and I have the amazing invention called Google that I realize that it is quite possible that the role of a wine expert is changing. Because 15 years ago, I would have had to stay up for about 2 or 3 hours to come up with the name of the winery. Instead, I can come up with it instantly. Kent, it was Remick Ridge Vineyards, and it's absolutely outstanding. Actually, we had Tommy on the show. We actually had his wife on the show. The wines are great if you can find them. So there, even though I'm brain dead, I will accommodate for that. But before the break, what we were discussing is the idea of being progressive in the wine business and if it's beneficial to what's actually in the bottle. Or in this case, something different, what's in the can. Now, I have been fascinated lately because I have been planning trips and working on, you know, again, everybody's getting excited about spring. Golf courses are starting to open. Outside amphitheaters are starting to open. And you have these places that traditionally cannot use glass. And so, of course, we have seen for years the PET plastic wine bottles. A lot of our 187s can come in it. But it really seems that people are jumping on the bandwagon of cans. And recently I've been working with a whole bunch of different types of wines that were in cans and getting people's impressions of them. And people look at the can, they think, well, okay, that's nice, but it's not really benefiting what's in it. In fact, I've had people look at, one person looked at me and said, friends, don't let friends drink wine from cans. Not only are you drinking out of a can, you're drinking through a straw. And again, you know my mentality because you're a devout follower of the Wine Crush. I don't care what, how, when you're drinking it. As long as you are drinking and enjoying wine and aren't scared by it, it's fine with me. But then I thought about the plastic bottles that were out there, and I thought about the different alternatives. And of course, we've discussed juice pouches. We've discussed all the different types of closures that are out there. And I thought, does the idea of wine in a can really upset people? Does it make it too casual? Does it turn people off? Is there a benefit to this? I want to know what you think. 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email me, lauralawson@winecrush.com. I was discussing this with a sommelier who is an expert, and they have great palates. And we had tasted the wines and gone through them. Structurally, there was nothing wrong with them. But as we were talking about it, I said it would make it very easy and very accessible wherever you are. Poolside. No one will ever let me have a glass. So you have to smuggle it in a purse or a cooler. And the can would just make it convenient. And he said, I want you to stop and think about something. When's the last time you saw water in a can? And I said, well, water doesn't come in cans. It comes in a plastic bottle or it comes in a glass bottle. And he said, why is that? And I said, I don't know. I've never really thought about why water doesn't come in a can. He's like, because the water companies are afraid that the water will wind up tasting like a can. He's like, why aren't the wine people concerned about it? Because what we're doing is we're putting a product with a higher level of acidity, generally than water, into a can. And then we expect people to try the wine in a can, get all excited, and to continue to support the brand. And I have to admit, he had a really, really good point.
I'm not that progressive either. To me, the can ruins the taste of soda. Why wouldn't it do that to wine?
You can really taste the difference.
I can taste the difference.
What, between a can and a bottle or a can and a fountain?
Can and a glass bottle.
That's just your old school Coca-Cola background nature coming through that you
just think
it's cuter. I will
bring you a can of Coke and I will bring you an ice cold bottle of Coke one day and you tell me if you can't taste the difference.
Okay, but you just went ahead and you totally screwed up the neutrality of that argument. Go back through and think about what you said. You said, I will bring you a can of Coke one day and I will bring you an ice cold bottle of Coke one day. You did not use any kind of description with the can. You didn't use anything that would sway or bias one way or the other.
Are you accusing me of playing with your mind, trying to influence you?
No. I don't need anybody playing with my mind to influence me one way or the other. How's the quote go? Rarely uncertain, often wrong. No, that's not an issue here.
I can taste the can. I can taste the can.
Okay. I see we have our challenge. Not only is Kent not a big drinker, but we're going to have to call in some help here at the Wine Crush because we're going to do a taste test. I'm sorry we have gotten so far off subject, but it goes back into all our promotional gimmicks, are everything we're throwing at innovating the wine business being detrimental? And is it a matter of, is the progression actually detrimental to the beverage and to perception of the beverage? Or is it simply something that's stuck in our heads? Again, 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email me directly, lauralawson@winecrush.com. Well, ultimately, with all the absurdities going around, whether it's wine coming out in a can, Rupert Murdoch, and something I neglected to mention, the fact he's getting into the wine business, it is the only vineyard actually in Los Angeles. So you have all these strange things that are hitting the news. My question is, are they hitting the news because they're strange, or are they hitting the news because they're newsworthy? And it goes all the way back, and here we are again at the home plate. Is all this promotion of wine beneficial? Now, I would have to argue that I'm very much looking forward to speaking to our next guest, because I am looking forward to hearing. I think our next guest can actually shed some light on these new techniques actually making it better wine and making a difference. But you're going to hang out and wait till after this commercial break, and we'll find out why there's wine sitting in the bottom of Charleston Harbor.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-989-0233. 800-989-0233. 800-989-0233. That's 800-989-0233.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
When I grow up, I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a...
I
want to
be
a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle.
Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. My student loan is totally paid off.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either. I paid more than the minimum each month, and soon enough, it was gone.
So you're just giving up?
Giving up on what?
The life of luxury. Egyptian cotton, caviar Thursdays, designer everything.
What are you talking about?
Our plan. What happened to winning the lottery and mastering the art of the perfect mimosa? Hosting galas, wearing enough jewelry to require a bodyguard, vacationing in the French Riviera, and then buying it.
I just thought maybe it was time to prepare for my future. You know, set some financial goals, make some smart investments, open a 401k.
Financial goals? Investments? A 401k? You are horrifying right now. Listen, if winning the lottery were easy, everyone would do it.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Now it's more of the Wine Crush.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now, I'm very much looking forward to our next guest. Not only have they come up with something newsworthy and creative, but hopefully this is going to be one of those innovations that really helps me turn the corner and think positively of the changes in the wine business. So right now, we have Mr. Gustavo Gonzalez, winemaker from Mira Winery. Gustavo, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
It is truly my pleasure to have you. I've had my producer stalking you down ever since I first got a small inkling of what you were doing. And I'm delighted that you're on the show today because, honestly, I'm looking forward to hearing what you're doing, why you're doing it, and the benefits of it. Obviously, I'm a good Southern girl, so I appreciate anything being done in Charleston Harbor. But for our listeners, if you would, take a beat and tell us what you are doing involving Charleston Harbor wine and the great winery you represent.
Right. Well, simply what we did is we took four cases of our 2009 Cabernet from Napa Valley, and we decided to put that in the Charleston Harbor for 3 months, about 60 feet deep, to see what the effect would be on the wine, and then compare it to what we have on shore, and see, and get some sommeliers together, taste the wines, do some analysis, and see what's different about it.
Okay. There's so many fun things. Why? Were we all sitting around drinking a whole bunch of Cabernet, drinking a whole bunch of champagne, and said, wow, this might be really cool, let's see what happens? What was the impetus for this?
Well, you know, drinking is usually involved, that's for sure. But the fact is, you know, as a winemaker, you're limited by the number, you know, you do basically the same thing. All winemakers are doing the same thing when they're fermenting wine, when they're aging in barrels and warehouses and stuff like that. And, you know, we just read some stories about some of these ships that were found in different places that had these old wines or champagnes in them, and the stories of how great those champagnes were kind of inspired us to try it and see what would happen with our wine.
Well, in doing that, why Charleston Harbor? Well, okay, let's start here. Tell our listeners first about Mira Winery. Tell us about your baseline. When you decide not to get your sea legs on, what is your winery known for? Where are you located? Tell us all the good stuff.
Okay, well, we're a relatively new winery. We're located in the Napa Valley in California, and we started basically with our first production wines in 2009. And there's three of us behind the project, two of us in California, and the person that's lucky enough to be our president, Jim Dyke, is actually based in Charleston, and he's very familiar with the food and wine scene that's there. And so we thought, you know, just to get away from California to do something in a much more unique place such as Charleston would be fun.
Well, without a doubt, yes. Okay, so obviously we now know why Charleston Harbor, because your president lives there. But in the sinking of the wine, there's so many other things, like you said, and that kind of goes hand in hand with what we've been discussing on The Crush so far today, that you hate to say it's a commodity, and I don't mean that. But wine, exactly. You have grapes, you crush them, they ferment. You can do different things. You can age them different ways. You can definitely have different yeast. You can do different kind of filtrations. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, you're stuck within a coloring book, and you pretty much stay in the lines. What you have done is taken the book and thrown it out. What do you hope to get by sinking wine in Charleston Harbor?
Well, we hope to find a different tool for aging, and I don't know how, you know, in the short term, how much of this we're going to be able to adapt going forward. But we're hoping to have just something different than what we have on shore. I don't know what the flavor profile is going to be. I think it's going to age a little bit slower. But not thinking that it's going to be better or worse than what we have, just different. And just a different way to age compared to what we traditionally do.
Okay. Are one of you... Now, see, this is where all the questions come in. You're going to make me pull them out like teeth. Are one of you a scuba diver, or one of y'all really into diving, and that's how this came about?
No, none of us are, neither of us are scuba divers or into diving or anything like that. I mean, really, it came from the stories that we've read about shipwrecks, and, you know, there are some wineries in Europe that are doing this apparently already with barrels of wine and things like that, but nobody here had actually really tried it, at least no one that we're aware of. And that's why we decided to do it, just to try something different, try to be innovative, because, you know, as I said before, as a winemaker, you're tied pretty much to the same colors in your coloring book, as you described. So why not try something else? And if it produces something interesting, that would be great. And if it doesn't, that's great too, because we learned something.
Well, all right, let's talk about logistics on this. So you said essentially there are four cases of your Cabernet sitting down in the silt. How did you decide, what kind of container, what kind of vessel are they in?
Well, we had these special metal cages built. They kind of look like what you would use to trap lobsters offshore.
Okay.
And then we tied the bottles in onto these basically wood slabs inside the cage. We secured the bottles on their neck down, and the bottles themselves have a wax seal over the cork. And then we had the scuba dive team take them down to about 60 feet below the surface.
All right. So basically, we're thinking Shark Tank for Cabernet.
Exactly.
We can make a reality show out about it. See who we can make a whole amazing race out of this. Hand someone a corkscrew and a snorkel mask and say, go. See what happens. All right, so we have them down in Charleston Harbor. Now, here's the next thing. I know that people can be finicky in that area. Did you have to approach the local government? Did you have to get special permission, or just slide out there by the dark of night?
We went out there right in the middle of the day and put them down. So we didn't necessarily go out and get permission to do it, but people definitely knew about it, and we just did it.
Hey, that works. You know, Usually they actually, I think they're a little more serious about people actually pulling things up from Charleston Harbor than from down. Now, I assume that we're not going to have a raise the Titanic moment. Y'all have the exact GPS. You know where it is.
Yeah, we actually put monitoring devices on the cages that include, you know, things for temperature and pressure and things like that, and also a GPS device so that we know where it's at.
Yeah, by the time
it might shift around a little bit, you know, and we'd hate to go back out there and not find it.
Well, that are a whole bunch of drunk sharks. You know, there are a lot of sharks in Charleston Harbor. You see them all circling around looking for the next human to come down with a cage. All right, so we know the why, we know the where. You didn't have to have any kind of special permission. Now, why 3 months? Why not six? Why not 12? Why exactly three?
Well, this first go-around, because we just thought of this idea at the beginning of the year, so there was some planning involved for the logistics. And the first thought is we may be limited by the weather that occurs in the summer in Charleston, the hurricane-type weather, let's say. And so,
you can definitely tell you're a West Coast boy. You just have parties when hurricanes come through. Come on.
You just go underground and have parties. Huh?
Yeah. Underground,
but,
no. Okay.
But the other thing, too, was the water temperature. So from what we understand is the water temperature could get a little bit warmer in the summer months. And also, you know, basically it's the weather and the water temperature that prevented us from going for a longer period of time. But we thought, why not just try it? We got the prototype cages. Let's do it for 3 months. See how well that works, and with the intention that when we bottle the next batch, the 2011 version of the Cabernet in September, that at that time we'll take something right off the bottling line and put it immediately in the harbor then, so that that one ages just entirely in the water compared to this one that aged a little bit on shore and then back in the water and then we'll pull it out.
Well, I love the fact that you're planning on being progressive with this idea, even after 3 months, if you don't see that much difference. Now, if you start looking about it, 60 feet, you don't have to worry necessarily about decompression. You don't have to worry about any kind of nitrogen in the bottle. So it should be able to rise up cleanly without any kind of breaks in it. Now, when you pull it out of the water, obviously we're not dealing with labels. You said you had the wax sealed. Is it something that we're going to have a big party down in Charleston Harbor? You have the scuba divers, they're going to go get it, and we're going to go straight and open it? Or how are you planning on evaluating this?
I would like to immediately go into it because I'm curious to see how it's going to taste. So the idea for me would be to, the minute we pull it back on shore, to taste it, pop it, taste it with some of the sommeliers there or the people that we work with in Charleston in the restaurants, and compare it blindly to see how it tastes, if there's any difference from what we have on shore.
That would just be fascinating. That could lead to a great party. All right. Hey, listen, we need to take a quick break right here. Would you mind hanging out till we get through these commercials? And I have a few last questions.
I'd love to.
All right. Hey, hang out. When we get back, we will have a little bit more about our party in Charleston Harbor and see what else we can find out about this innovative way to age wine.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is the Wine Crush.
If you suffer from heartburn or other digestive-related disorders, then there is a new, safe, better, and natural alternative to better digestive wellness and heartburn relief. Praxid not only provides relief of heartburn, but Praxid takes a 360-degree approach to support better digestion, protect you from harmful bacteria, and also balance your stomach to improve digestive functions.
We like to think of it as the multivitamin of digestive health.
It's the only product to combine all natural ingredients known for the digestive health properties into a single patented product. Praxid also comes in easy-to-carry packs. Praxid relieves, restores, and maintains a healthy digestive system. Praxid is available here for only $39.95. Shipping and handling is free, and your money back is guaranteed.
To take advantage of this special radio offer, call now 1-800-829-5735. That's 1-800-829-5735. Again, 1-800-829-5735.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Call OnCall Pharmacy right now and save as much as $700. 800-884-7919. OnCall Pharmacy delivers the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Call OnCall Pharmacy now and take advantage of this special offer. 800-884-7919. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now. 800-884-7919. 800-884-7919. 800-884-7919.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
I'm trying to tell you something about my life. Maybe give me insight between black and white.
We're back with more of the Wine Crush.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is The Wine Crush. Right now, we are online with Mr. Gustavo Gonzalez, the winemaker from Mira Winery. Gustavo, are you still with us?
I am.
Okay. When we last left you, we had sunk four cases of Cabernet into Charleston Harbor, And we are just kind of hanging out to see what kind of difference it makes. Now, of course, this is just my petty, strange way of thinking. I know you said you had monitors on it. Have y'all had any problems, you think, with people trying to go retrieve it or try and steal your wine or think, oh, this would be kind of cool? You do know it's still there, right?
We do know it's there, and it was pretty secretive going out to put it. No, we made sure nobody was following us, so I don't think anybody knows where it is. No one really saw us doing it, as far as I'm aware.
All right. That would be a hell of a note, though, to all of a sudden go out there and all the cages and all the little trackers be there, nothing but empty bottles, little notes in it. Thanks, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Next time, leave it down 6 months. All right. So having said that, now let's look at this. You're obviously the winemaker. You've got the degrees behind you. You know what you're doing. When we're looking at a situation like this, obviously there are some various factors that can add to the aging. One is going to be pressure. The second is going to be temperature. The third is going to be movement. How do you expect these three things to affect your wine?
Well, the one that I'm the most curious about is the movement, because I'm not sure what that's going to do. I mean, I could relate that maybe to a barrel when you're stirring the barrels, but in the bottle of wine, I'm not really sure what that's going to do, and I'm really curious about it. But my sense is that it's going to slow down aging, so maybe the wine compared to what we have on shore, and I know 3 months isn't a long period of time maybe to really see it, but I have a feeling it's going to taste younger than what we have on shore.
I would imagine, especially with the temperature. Now, how do you think pressure is going to affect? I mean, obviously, it's in a glass bottle. We know it's not going to burst. Do you think the pressure is going to have any kind of effect on it?
I don't think it will have too much of an effect, because when we bottle it, the bottles are pressurized. I mean, even though there's a wood cork in it, you know, and there's a little bit of oxygen getting in there normally on shore. But I don't think the pressure is going to affect it too much.
Except for the fact that being underwater, you know that there is no extra oxygen that's going to get into that bottle.
Exactly, and that's where I think that the aging process will be a little bit slower.
All right, what did I miss? We talked about pressure. We discussed temperature. Obviously, we discussed the fact that it's going to be moving a little bit. Are there other considerations in doing this?
Yeah, there's also the complete absence of light.
Oh,
even though we're in the warehouse, it's usually dark. You know, during operating hours, there's artificial light in the warehouse, even though the wine's in boxes. In this case, there's no light at all.
Yeah, no, I guess it would be totally and absolutely dark.
Yeah.
Now, see, to me, this is just fascinating. I hate the fact you're only doing it 3 months. We need to start a page on the Wine Crush saying, please leave it longer. Let's do a comparative.
Well, we're going to do it again in the fall. So you'll have to hang tight. You know, we'll get the first impression from these bottles, and then we'll do something a little bit longer. And if we can get away with more time, not just pull it out in May because we're concerned about weather, that would be great, too, to do it for a year or 2 years or something like that.
Absolutely. Now, I've got to ask, because I am the Chardonnay guzzling diva, why did you pick Cabernet?
Well, Cabernet was a simple choice just because it's the wine that everybody knows in terms of red. You know, it's the biggest seller for red wines. We know Chardonnay is the biggest seller in general. But Cabernet has some of the characteristics maybe that you would look for in aging compared to Chardonnay, with the tannin and stuff like that. So we just thought it was a better fit, and it was, like I said, it's a wine that more people are aware of compared to our Syrah or our Pinot. But that doesn't mean that in the future we won't experiment with other varieties. I think it would be neat to do that as well.
I think 3 months of Chardonnay, totally no light, no anything, it'd be fascinating to see if there was a difference. Because people already have the argument about white wines. I know that people get in their head, oh, I'm not going to drink an aged Chardonnay. It tastes sherry. It tastes funny. It'd be fun because, in essence, what we're dealing with, there shouldn't be much of a color change outside of what would be on the label. You shouldn't know that it's an older Chardonnay or not.
Right.
So that will be fun. Now, of course, the last question I got to ask, you said you're a relatively new winery. What got you into the wine business to begin with?
Well, I've been in the wine business for almost 18 years now. So I started my career in the Napa Valley. I worked in Italy and South America and Burgundy as well. And we always, me and the two other partners, you always kind of dream of having your own label, your own brand. And we had an opportunity in 2009 to get grapes from one of the top grape growers in the Napa Valley, Hyde Vineyard, and we just couldn't pass it up. So putting our business plan together and seeing how much we love all the different kinds of varieties, we decided to pursue other varieties besides what we started with, which was Syrah. And here we are 3 years later, completely focused on our brand and not doing anything else.
Well, it's great, especially when you're looking at Hyde Vineyard and sharing your sharing the grapes with greats like Ramey. It's going to be great to see what happens. When we had started this show today, I was discussing the idea of wine and the people creating it are being progressive in their marketing, in their packaging, in the fact of how they're creating their wine. Would you consider yourself to be one of the progressives?
I think so. I mean, I'm always looking for something different to try. And with that said, I'm a very traditional winemaker, let's say. I like to use traditional techniques to try to get traditional tasting wines, let's say. But you always look for places where you can innovate where you can innovate. And I for that reason, I definitely consider that we're doing something innovative.
Without a doubt. Now, you realize, dear, that most normal winemakers, they just make themselves happy by finding some kind of strange varietal, like a Primitivo or some kind of Gewurztraminer or Charbono, and they make a barrel and they stick it in the back of the winery. Nope, you could not be normal, could you?
No, cannot be normal.
I like it. Well, do we have a set date for the raising of the bottles?
Right now it's scheduled for May 25th.
May 25th, so you're doing it right around Memorial Day weekend.
That's right.
All right, well, we are going to have to find a way. When you start beginning to pop those corks, it would be a lot of fun to have you back on the show or have you around so that our listeners can see what the final verdict is going to be.
I would love to join you again.
All right. Well, Gustavo, thank you very much for being part of the Crush and giving us a progressive idea on neat things that are happening with wine. And I'm looking forward to talking to you in a couple months.
Thank you very much. You have a great day.
You do the same. Hey, another quick break here on the Crush. When we return, we will wrap up today's show and see what's coming ahead.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
An adult elephant can weigh up to 6 tons. The average person, 150 pounds. Ever heard of carfentanil? It's a large wild animal tranquilizer. Illegal drug dealers lace heroin with it. It can kill the average human. If you or a loved one is addicted to opiates, even pain pills, don't wait until it's too late. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. We care. Many of us have been where you are. We'll take you or a loved one away from the drug environment to a place you can clean out safely. Plus, we'll work with your insurance company to make sure you get the treatment you need. And with a Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed by law to get away for help without telling your employer why. Call now to save a life.
800-915-9734. 800-915-9734. That's 800-915-9734.
The IRS is the most feared agency in the world. You've heard ads from other companies offering to help taxpayers only if they owe over $10,000. Here at Platinum Tax Defenders, we're A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, and we're proud to be one of the only tax firms in the country who understands that people who owe less than $10,000 need help just as badly. The IRS doesn't care how much money you owe. They'll still garnish your wages and even seize your assets. So whether you owe just a few thousand dollars or hundreds of thousands, call now for your free tax consultation. If you qualify, we may even be able to reduce your tax debt down to a small fraction of what you owe. So don't wait until the IRS seizes your property and garnishes your wages. Call 800-856-1330 and get your tax problem resolved once and for all. That number again is 800-856-1330. 800-856-1330.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? But in order to know what I wanted to be, I had to first decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more. So I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore. And frustration, a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up impossible. I make an old subject feel like a fresh thought, and unconventional methods common. I make material things less important, and little things like patience and kindness count. I make weekdays more exciting than weekends, and classrooms feel like anything but. I make things different, which is all I ever hoped for. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Her name was written on the photograph.
Now more of Laura Lawson and the Wine Crush.
This is the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Special thank you going out to Gustavo. Hopefully we will see what's coming up from the bottom of Charleston Harbor, and it will be enlightening. And it all goes back to today's show in the concept of being progressive. Are we progressive for progressive sakes, or are we progressive to get more people involved in wine or to learn something? And it was funny, as we were coming off that commercial break, I had to tell Kent, just hush, save this for the air. Because Kent, who is not known for a great wine drinker or a wine connoisseur, or actually anyone who even pays attention to my show, he had 8 million questions. Yeah. And during that time, I've got Kent Googling and talking about wine on the Baltic Sea, and I got Kent complaining because there's not enough varietals. Did I miss something?
I just found the oldest champagne that was ever found. It was a 1907 vintage found at sea.
Outstanding.
Dates back to 1916 or so.
But see, this is why I think there's value in being progressive in ideas like this, especially the one we just discussed, because Kent is not known for his wine savviness, but this interested him. It was so far out there that, oh, let me research, let me look at this, let me check it out. That within itself is a worthwhile progressive idea, because it's bringing people interest. It's making people want to study the beverage. On the same token, now Kent's like, oh, what other kind of wine did he sink? And again, that's Kent, who would not know a Syrah from a Zinfandel.
I'm a scientist.
But it is the best of both. It encapsulates everything that we're looking for. One, I will be curious to see what the difference is in 3 months. In 3 months, I really don't think there's going to be a bit of difference between those two wines. There's my call, no offense. I want to see the experiment progress. I want to see what comes of it. But again, it has captured our interest and captured our intrigue, which is something that wine has done for generation after generation after generation. But here's the difference. It is capturing our interest and our intrigue because we're being different with it, because we're being progressive. The jury will still be out on wine in a can. The jury will always still be out on mega celebrities buying wineries to see whether they're going to turn them around, whether they're going to be a benefit to the wine or to the name or to anything. But I think when we take the best of a progressive nature, which involves learning something and attracting attention, that will always benefit this business. It will always benefit the grape, and it will always benefit what's in the bottle. As always, here on The Crush, we're reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.